Let's pray once again before we turn to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the word of God. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given it to us. All scripture is breathed out by you, and all of it is profitable to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness. May the Spirit of God use the Word of God to transform us by the renewing of our minds even today, and then to transform our lives, to grow our faith, to change the way we think and live according to your truth and according to your way. May it light our path, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, as we come together and we've read from 1 Corinthians 12, what might be in the minds of some of you is that this passage has caused great division in the body of Christ. That the very passage that the Apostle Paul actually gives us, because there was division in Corinth, has accomplished similar things among the body of Christ today. And you might be wondering, where is he going with all this morning? Well, this morning what I want to do is take this passage and a number of other ones, and I want to focus in particular on the theme that we focused on last week as well. This will again be a bit of a topical message as I seek to address what I realized while I was away on holidays was a great problem in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is that so many people have such a low view of the church. So many people have a deficient ecclesiology. And brothers and sisters, I do not want that to be among us. I do not want us to fall prey for so many of the things that people have fallen for today, that somehow we can live a solo Christian life, that we can be individualistic in our following of Christ, that we can have church at home and just do it on a screen by ourselves and these kind of things, or just take the church as something we can take or leave when it's convenient for us. But brothers and sisters, the church, the way that God has designed it, is something beautiful. It is something wonderful and glorious. It has been designed by him. It is purposely put together by him for ways that would glorify him, that would be good for us and would be a benefit to others. And I find that so many people today are perishing in their churches for lack of knowledge, for lack of understanding of the doctrine of the church. And so this morning, I want to take what I approached in a more broad way last week and approach that same topic in a bit of a different way, a bit more deeper way, to drill down into one particular theme. And that theme is to understand the body of Christ in relation to the spiritual gifts that are given her by Christ. And I hope that as we do this, we will see that God, through his word, would impress upon us here, every one of us here this morning, the necessity of belonging to and regularly participating in the full-orbed life of a local body of believers. That we would leave here going, why would I not want to do this? Why would I want to miss out on all that God has designed the church and the body to be? Because those who are vitally connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, are by necessity mutually dependent upon one another as parts of the body of Christ. And if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to become all that we were meant to be and to accomplish the things that God intended us to accomplish as his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we are to walk in, if we want to do this, we must be regularly connected to one another in the body of Christ, that we might exercise the gifts that God has given us, that we might mutually encourage and build up one another in this way. And so I want to begin this morning then thinking more broadly about the doctrine or the teaching about spiritual gifts that we find in Scripture. I want us to think, what does the Bible say about spiritual gifts? And I want to give us a definition, and then I'm going to unpack that definition for us this morning. The definition is this: I believe spiritual gifts, as I look at them in Scripture, are gifts that are sovereignly, graciously, and variously given by God to every true Christian for the building up of the body of Christ. Let me say that again. Spiritual gifts are gifts that are given sovereignly, graciously, and variously by God to every true Christian for the purpose of the building up of the body of Christ. Let's begin then at the beginning with the words spiritual gifts. Why do we refer to these as spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, I think if we think about the word spiritual, we must think about it in terms of its opposite, and that would be natural. So spiritual gifts are the antonym, if you will, for natural gifts. What do I mean by that? Well, in thinking of spiritual gifts, then, we're not talking about the gifts that every single person, as they are knit together in their mother's womb, in the DNA that has been given to them by God, the natural talents that are given, the natural gifts that are given to every single person, we are not speaking of those kind of gifts. The kind of things and talents that are given to each one at conception and as they are born into the world and as they grow up, they hone and they grow in various ways that they have been designed so that some are really good at working with their hands and other people have these brilliant minds and everything else that are naturally, if you will, endowed to every single person by God himself. No, we are not talking about these kind of talents and gifts to the naturally born person. We are talking about gifts that are given to the one who has been born again. They are spiritual gifts given to spiritual persons, not given to every single person in the world, but to every Christian who has ever been born again and indwelt by the Spirit of God. From the time that they are born again, the Spirit of God comes to indwell them, and one of the first things he does is gives them spiritual gifts. So they are not natural gifts, but they are spiritual gifts. And oftentimes we associate these gifts with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now in Scripture we find that these gifts are given by God. And we understand that. And at certain times in Ephesians 4, it will talk about these gifts as coming from Christ. At other times in 1 Peter 4, it'll talk about them coming from God the Father. But truly, in its fullest sense, the gifts really come to us from God the Father through Christ the Son, who poured out the Spirit of God, and it is then the Spirit of God who then takes and gives these gifts to the people of God. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says this, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit." And so then, the Christian, as he is born again and indwelt by the Spirit, is given spiritual gifts by the Spirit of God. And we must understand also that there is not a single true Christian who has been born again who has not received gifts. You don't have certain gifted Christians and ungifted ones. Each one is given gifts. Notice 1 Corinthians 7, how it begins. It says, "To some are given the manifestation of the Spirit." No. Look at the Bible, look at what it says. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." As each has received a gift. And so we have spiritual gifts given to each and every Christian at the time of their spiritual birth. These are what we are talking about. And these gifts are given through God the Father, through Christ the Son, as he poured out the Spirit of God. He bestows gifts then on the body of Christ. Now then, as we see then, there are spiritual gifts. So what do these gifts look like? What kind of things are included in this idea of spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, we understand that God gives a variety of spiritual gifts to his people. He doesn't just give one gift to each person, the same gift, but there's a variety of gifts that he gives to his people. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, notice what it says there. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Now, if we would go on and read, as we have read, verses 12 to 20 in 1 Corinthians 12, we would find that the Apostle Paul then relates the variety of the parts of the body, the parts that make up a human body, with the body of Christ and the varied gifts that are given to it. And so just as we don't have a body that's all hand, that would be a very useless body. The hand has a purpose and it is good. It has certain abilities and gifts and it can do certain things. But we also need feet. We also need eyes to guide the hands to do the things that it's doing. If the hand didn't have a mouth in which to put food into, the body wouldn't be fed and eventually the hand would die. There are various parts and they all work together in the body, all of the variety of them, in order to serve the good of the body and the whole. And so there are various gifts then given by the Spirit of God. There's not just one gift and not just a few gifts, but a great variety of gifts. And these gifts can be classified under two headings. Under two headings, we might say that there are both speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, if you want to turn there for a moment, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, he's there speaking about the same thing that Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll notice then that he gives us these two categories of gifts. And we see if we look at the lists and the various lists of gifts that we find in places like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, that these gifts can be separated out into these two categories generally. I believe too, just as a note, that the lists that are given to us of the spiritual gifts in Scripture are not exhaustive but are representative. I don't believe if you just go through all the things that are said that you have all the gifts that the Spirit gives. I believe they're representative of these two categories of gifts that are given to us in 1 Peter 4. What are they then? He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then he says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And so then he says, whoever speaks and whoever serves. And I think as you look through the lists that are given, there are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. In Romans 12, we would find in verse 6, it talks about having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us then use them. And then it mentions some. It says, if prophecy, which is a speaking gift in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, that's a serving gift, the one who teaches, a speaking gift in his teaching, the one who exhorts, that's a speaking gift in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, that again is a serving gift that we serve, being generous and so on, talks about acts of mercy and these things. And so we find then that the gifts that are given are those of speaking and those of serving. And as we look through the scriptures, we find many examples of those who have both of these types of gifts. I just want to give us a couple examples this morning. We think about Apollos. Apollos, who is introduced in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, we'll notice then what it says about him there. Acts 18, 24. It says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And it says, when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted, using his speaking gift, the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. And so he used his speaking gifts, and it was a great help to the believers. It greatly encouraged them. It built them up. And so Apollos was a man with a speaking and teaching gift. Or we might find someone like Barnabas. Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, we're informed, although we know him most well as Barnabas, that his actual name was Joseph. You might say, well, why did they call him Barnabas then? Why didn't they just call him Joseph? Well, it was because Barnabas means son of encouragement. And it just so happened, I believe, that this was a nickname given to him by the apostles because this man went around and using his mouth regularly encouraged everybody. He was one of the most encouraging people to be around. You were around him and you felt like you were a million bucks. He just was constantly encouraging those around him. How greatly we need Barnabases today in the church. How greatly we need Apolloses in the church. Those who would use speaking gifts to build up the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful that in this church we have Apolloses and we have Barnabases. We have benefited from their ministry and enjoyed hearing their encouragement. I have found so many times, what would I have done throughout the years if it were not for those with the gift of encouragement? I'm thankful for those with the gift of discernment, but if the whole body was only those with the gift of discernment and those who were constantly discerning and getting at things or whatever, I probably would have quit a long time ago. I love those people, but we need a balance in the body. We need those with teaching gifts, those with gifts of encouragement, and those who can speak words of encouragement. Now, there are not only then speaking gifts in Scripture, but there are serving gifts as well. For while teaching and speaking and encouraging and exhorting are good and necessary things, there are also practical, down-to-earth things that need to be done in the body of Christ. There's physical help. There is tangible needs that need to be ministered to. We can't only love in words or in tongue, but we must love in action and in truth. And God has gifted various members of the body in this way. A church that is all talk and no action would be a very unbalanced and unbiblical one. We not only need Apolloses and Barnabas, but we can also not do without the Tabithas or the Dorcases. What do I mean? Well, in Acts 9, we find her there. What a great blessing she was to the church of Jesus Christ in verse 36. Acts 9, verse 36 says, "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha," which translated means Dorcas. And notice what it says about her. What a wonderful testimony. A couple of thousand years have gone by, and people have read this about this lady. She was full of good works and acts of charity. Full of good works and acts of charity. But what happened in those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her and laid her in an upper room, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. As I read about this, we would think maybe to the day of our passing, each one of us, our days here are numbered. We're but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Dorcas couldn't die without the church weeping and mourning her great loss, because she had so used the gifts that God had given her, her serving gifts in the body of Christ. She was full of good works and acts of charity, and so much so that the people brought Peter and wanted him to come. Why? Because they wanted her back. And they knew that God had given Peter a gift of healing and he could raise her from the dead as an apostle, and he ended up doing that very thing. But here we have then Tabitha, one with serving gifts. How greatly we need them, and I am so thankful that we have many of them here in our body today. We don't have to mention them by name because you have experienced what they have done. Their service, their love, their ministry of mercy, their serving gifts as they have ministered to you on multiple occasions. We know them, we understand, and we are thanking God for them here today. Those who are full of good works and acts of charity. And so then in the body of Christ, God has given these gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, as we think about spiritual gifts, we also must understand that it is God who sovereignly determines the gifts that each Christian receives. So in other words, when you're first born again and you become a Christian, God doesn't take you to a spiritual gifts shop. And there in the spiritual gift shop, you get to look around and say, well, I'd like one of those, and I'd like to take that one over there. I think that one's a great gift for me. I've liked it when I've watched other people use that gift. I would like that one. Thank you kindly. No, this is not the way it works. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:11. Notice the language there. It says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The he is not referring to you, it's referring to the Spirit of God. He apportions gifts as he wills, or 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. God chooses. God apportions these gifts as he wills. So the person that comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself is the one who takes and distributes these gifts as he chooses and as he wills. Now, as we think about this, we should thank God for this. We should thank God for this because you and I are not wise like God. You and I do not know what is best for us or what is best for the body of Christ. He distributes these things as he chooses, and he is all wise. He has all knowledge. God knows exactly, too, where he in his providence will guide and direct various people, differently gifted people, to different bodies of Christ, so that those bodies can be built up and blessed and benefit from the gifts that he has distributed. How many of us here today were here 30 years ago? But God had, and many of us were Christians back then. Many of us had already known Jesus Christ, and yet we didn't know that we would be here in this time and this place, did we? We didn't know that this body would need particular gifts that God was going to give to us. Maybe some of you here are not yet saved, and yet God already has planned the gifts that he will give you and where in his providence he will direct you so that you can use them for the glory of his name and the building up of the church. So I'm thankful that God himself is the one who gives the gifts. I was reminded of Ephesians 2:10, the one we memorized. It says that we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so the same God who knew that he would bring us to Christ and would save us in Christ not only designed our physical bodies and to do certain things, but gave us spiritual gifts so that we could do the things that he had prepared beforehand and walk in them. And so I'm thankful that God is the one who sovereignly distributes the gifts. He is the one who gives them. Now, God also, we find in Scripture, is the one who not only sovereignly dispenses gifts, but graciously gives gifts to his people. In other words, the gifts that we received are not because we had done some good things in the past. As a matter of fact, when Christ saved us, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We had nothing to commend us to him at all. But when we came to faith in Christ, God in his grace gives gifts to his people. We deserved none of them. We merited none of them. We had earned none of them. And yet God graciously dispenses them to us. Notice what it says then in Romans 12 and verse 5. Romans 12:5, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. According to the grace given to us. Or 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God gives us gifts, sovereignly distributes them to us by his grace that we are then to steward. Each one of us here has been given gifts by God's grace that we are called to steward if we are a Christian. And because we did not merit them, because we did not earn them, because it's not because we're better than somebody else that we have a certain gift and they do not, then what we should recognize is that would be the epitome of foolishness for us to boast or take pride in our gifts. That's the kind of thing that was causing division in Corinth. It's the kind of thing that causes division in churches. We must remember that these things were given to us by God and his grace and his sovereignty. The Apostle Paul, in dealing with the Corinthians in this way, there's a pointed statement he makes in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He says this, for what did you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as though you did not receive it? So we, if we have a certain gift, certain abilities, spiritual gifts that God has given to us, there's no cause for boasting at all. We would have no gift had God not graciously and sovereignly given it to us. He could have given it to the person sitting next to us. There's no reason at all why I'm up here preaching except that God graciously and sovereignly decided to give me a gift. And he gave it to me not because I merited it, not because I deserved it, because God is gracious and sovereign and he dispenses these things as he wills. There's no cause for me to boast or become proud. Let us boast in Jesus Christ and in God alone. He's the one who endowed us with these gifts. Now, finally, why does God give these gifts then? Why does he give the spiritual gifts? What purpose does he give them to us? Not for our pride, not for our boasting, but notice what 1 Corinthians 12:7 says. 1 Corinthians 12:7, what is the purpose of the gifts? First, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. Not to puff us up, but for the blessing and good of others. For the common good. I have a gift for the common good. You have a gift for the good of those who are around you, given by God if you are a Christian. Or 1 Peter 4:10, what does it say about the purpose of the gifts? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. God gives gifts to you and I for the good of others and to serve others. Or finally, in Ephesians 4:11-12, it lists some gifts there. It says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so we have received gifts as Christians for the good of others, for the service of others, for the building up of others in the body of Christ. Each one sovereignly gracious, endowed by God with spiritual gifts so that we can build up, serve, and do good to others in the body of Christ. It's important that we recognize then that we are not given these gifts for the purpose of looking down on others or for judging others. This is something that I had to learn. This is something that God humbled me in this way, because when you've been given a particular gift by God, a spiritual gift, there are things you see. There are passions that you have. There are needs that you desire to meet that others don't see quite in the same way. When God is gifted and the Spirit of God is gifted, he not only gifts people in a certain way, but he gives them a desire to serve in that way. He gets them to see things that others don't see. And then what happens oftentimes is I hear things like this. Someone will come into a church and they'll say, well, man, this church is not very hospitable. I'm going to go somewhere else where there's more hospitality. Well, you've just taken the part of the body that was meant to be one to demonstrate and use the gift of hospitality, and you've put them somewhere else. Maybe the reason you think there is no hospitality in the church is because you have a gift and you need to exercise it. Some people look around and say, well, this church isn't really good at evangelism, and there's no evangelism happening here, and how come everybody's not concerned about evangelism? I'm on the street corner evangelizing, and nobody else is doing this. Well, maybe you have the gift of evangelism. You have such a passion and a heart for evangelism. It's not that others aren't to evangelize, but they're not going to see it quite the same way that you do. Well, I'm always giving and helping others, and it seems like, this guy, he doesn't really care about the needs of others. Well, maybe you have the gift of generosity and the gift of giving. And those who have been given particular gifts oftentimes can find themselves looking at everybody else, thinking, why are they not so passionate about this? Why is everybody not studying 4 hours a day? Well, because they're out there doing some serving gifts while you're studying to use your teaching gift. That's why. Don't look down on them. Serve them. Well, I know the scriptures, and I study, and I can teach. Well, yeah, dummy, you were given that by grace for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, not for looking down on your brothers. You'd be dumb as a stick if God hadn't given you the gift. Do we see this? This is so important. This is so important that we understand it. And not only this, but when people begin to use their gifts, what we find is it elevates everyone else. So the person with the gift of hospitality begins to show hospitality. We know them. We know the ones. We watch them in their giftedness. We marvel at how they can do these things. They make everybody feel so welcome, and they do it. But as we watch them, even someone like me, who's not gifted at all, it seems, or whatever, can learn. You can teach an old dog new tricks, because we're all taught in the Bible that we're all to show hospitality. But the one with the gift, as we see them doing this and we experience the benefits of it, it motivates us. We go, man, that was so wonderful. I think I'd like to try that too. And maybe some of the things they did, I can do too. Maybe when I spend time with a person with the gift of giving, I decide, man, it would be so wonderful. I need to give more. Or the one with the gift of evangelism, I want to go out there and I want to do this. And we learn from the one who has the gift. You see, we then not only use our gift for the building up of the body, but as we use that gift, it helps everybody else to grow in these things as well. This is the wonderful way that God has designed the body of Christ to work. And we then must take these gifts that God has graciously given to us, and we must then exercise them. We must use them. Now, as we consider then how God has brought all of this together, we can sum it up this way. Then God has sovereignly and graciously chosen to give every new believer varied spiritual gifts for the purpose of serving one another in the church, for the common good of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. And as we bring this to a close, then, I want us to consider some other implications and applications of this truth. And I want to begin by saying how we must not respond to God's word concerning the body and spiritual gifts. What would be the wrong response to a message like this? Well, one of them would be solo Christianity, individualistic Christianity, church at home in front of a screen Christianity, treating the church as if it's something I don't really need, but I'll indulge in whenever I have time, Christianity. That is foreign to the Bible, brothers and sisters, and it is an entire denial of this very truth. There's no such thing as individualistic solo Christianity. Think about a nose sitting at home by itself. It's ridiculous, is what it is. The nose is sitting there. Well, I've got everything I need, and I can grow in Christ myself, and I'm participating online, and I'm doing my thing, and I don't need this church thing, and I don't need anybody else. I know Christ, and I can read my Bible, and I can do this on my own. Thank you kindly. No, the nose will die. It'll be all smell, Paul says. What good is a body that's all nose? A body that's all eye? No, it doesn't make any sense. There's no purpose to it. It can't function. This is what the Bible is teaching. Or consider the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. This is important. 1 Corinthians 12, 21. Look at it. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. He goes on, he says, nor again can the head to the feet say, I have no need of you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, says to many people in the Western church today who think they can do it alone, you cannot say to the others in the body of Christ, I have no need of you. But that's exactly what they're doing. They may not say it with their mouth, but they're saying it with their actions. They don't regularly participate in the full or body life of the church because they think they have no need of others. Christ says otherwise. The Bible says the opposite. We have a great need for those in the body of Christ. God has given your brothers and sisters gifts, spiritual gifts, to serve you, to build you up. For your good, will you deny then the good that God has given to you in giving you brothers and sisters in Christ with varied spiritual gifts? And will you deny this truth by not coming, by not being involved, by not spending time with them? We have those with catching gifts. We're thankful they're gonna and patience and here we are then together. We can't say that we don't need one another. Look around. You need these people. You will never become what God intended you to become without them. Not only that, When we do not then participate in the life of the body life of the church, when we're not actively involved with our brothers and sisters throughout the week, when we're just sitting at home alone, what we're saying to our brothers and sisters is, I don't care about you. We're saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, you graciously gave me gifts to serve the body of Christ, and I'm going to stick them under a rock. I'm not going to use them for the purpose you gave me. I'm going to hoard them. I'm going to keep them to myself. I don't care about the body of Christ. Jesus, I claim to love you, the great heavenly bridegroom, but I don't care about your bride. I claim to be in the head, but I don't care about the health of the body. Because by not participating in this way, by not using the gifts that God has given, we are in fact saying this very thing to Christ and to the body of Christ. I don't want to serve you. Now, these are the things then that we should not do in hearing a message like this. How do we positively respond to this truth? I pray that God would help me and all here this morning to determine to use the gifts that God has given to us to selflessly, humbly, and lovingly serve and build up and do good to the body of Christ. And in so doing, we serve Christ. For you cannot love the body without then showing love to the head. You cannot serve the body without serving the head. We saw last week that the Lord Jesus Christ takes it personally when those even give a cup of cold water in his name to those who are part of his body and his bride. And so then, let us regularly meet together. Let us regularly not give up meeting together. Let's commit to participating in the full orb body life of the church. Because it is very difficult for you to serve one another when you don't spend time with one another. How do you know people's needs? How can you use your gifts for the building up of the body when you're never together with the body? When we come here on Sunday morning, it isn't just to an event that we come or something that we are to take in, but something that we are to participate in. When you come late and you leave right after the service, basically you're saying to everybody else, you don't need my gifts and I don't need yours. Part of why we come together in the fellowship of believers in the worship on Sunday morning is to lovingly encourage and serve and find ways to use our gifts for the building up of the body. How do you know when you have the gift of giving, who has a need that you can give to if you never spend time with them? How can you use your gift of teaching if you're not with the body of Christ? How can you serve in ministries of mercy if you don't know the needs that are around you? You see, we come together in this way. Commit to coming together regularly, to spending time. Have people in your home. Get to know them. Spend time here at prayer meeting or in a teaching Tuesdays or on Sunday morning or in other ways so that you can get to know one another, so that you can say, oh, Lord, help me to use the gifts that you have given me to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ that I might honor you. Determine to spend time actively listening to one another when we're together. To looking around and thinking and finding ways then that God will stir you up to use the gifts that are in you. Now, at this point, someone might be asking, and it would be a legitimate question, how do I know how the Spirit of God has gifted me? Now, there was an answer that I think is fairly unhelpful and I would say quite unbiblical. You can take it for what it is. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a thing called a spiritual gifts survey. I highly recommend you ignore it. Don't go out and take one today. You say, well, how do I know then if I don't take a survey? How can I know what my spiritual gifts are? I would say this, don't take a survey. Begin to seek to find ways to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you do this, you will discover your spiritual gifts. Think about Barnabas. Do you think Barnabas took a spiritual gift survey and then he found out that he was a son of encouragement and so he thought, well, I better start encouraging people then, and other people said, yep, let's call him Barnabas because he took the survey. No, the survey didn't exist back then, but Barnabas came to know his gifts because he was a Barnabas. The Spirit of God made him a Barnabas, and as he looked around, he found people that he could encourage, and after a while, people went, oh, he's a son of encouragement. And so it is with the body of Christ. Love Christ, get to know him, and as you get to know him, love the people around you and find ways to serve. And then after you begin to serve for a while, others will go, hey, she's actually gifted in that area. I find when they have me over, it's the most wonderful thing. I don't know why, but the hospitality and the way that they do things is just amazing to me. Or this person over here, they're always just have a gift of service. They're serving here and serving there and serving here and serving there. Maybe they've got serving gifts. And someone else, when I spend time with him, he begins to talk about the scriptures, and I actually understand what they mean in a whole new way. And before long, you begin to discover your gifts. This is the way I happened to discover that I had a gift of teaching. As the Lord saved me and began to work in my life, all of a sudden I had an insatiable desire to study the scriptures. I quit both my jobs. I spent my life savings by the grace of God, and my wife allowed me to do this, to study and learn. And as I began to learn and study, I just went, well, people have to know this. I didn't know this, but people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Someone has to hear this. And so all of a sudden, I began teaching my family, and I happened to find a way to teach a class in my church that even the pastors didn't want me to teach, on the book of Genesis, because I believed in a literal Genesis, and they began to censor me, and they probably should have stopped me as elders if they didn't believe what I was doing. We would maybe do that here. But in the meantime, I'm teaching a class at church all of a sudden, and then I'm teaching a class at the local Christian school, and then my friends and other people that knew me are going, what in the world happened to him? Because we're sitting around the campfire and we're spending time at dinner, and I can't help but talk about the Word of God. And then people began to say, well, actually, you know, this is benefiting me. Can you keep doing it? And before long, the body of Christ confirmed the gift that was placed in me, and as they encouraged me and moved me along, here I am today. Not because I took a survey, but because I began to do what was in my heart to do, and others noticed that I had a gift. Now, there may be others, and there may be some who will covet the gifts of others and begin to try to operate in an area where they are not gifted, and the body of Christ will also notice that too. And then we must have the grace and humility to be told, hey, you know, your singing gift in the shower, it's not needed here. That may not be a spiritual gift, but a natural gift, you see. You go, you may love doing it. You may think it would be great to be up in front of the congregation. Keep that at home. And so on. You see, we begin to recognize and we begin to see. Someone says, oh, I have a teaching gift. And you go, no, you can't really teach your way out of a wet paper bag, but please try to continue to grow, you know, in these things. And so we must be honest with ourselves and with one another. But it is through exercising. Seek to serve. Open your mouth and speak to your brothers and sisters, and you'll find all of a sudden that the gifts that God has given you will begin to blossom and flourish. And so what we find then is this beautiful design of the church, each one given gifts, sovereignly, graciously distributed by God for the building up of others in the body of Christ. It's designed, the word church, ekklesia, means to assemble. And there is a reason why we are to assemble, because we're a body. We belong to each other. We've been gifted by God for the benefit of each other. Don't stay away. Participate in the design and the purposes of God, and you will come to see the beauty and the glory of what God has done. Because that's what I have found in being here. You know, when you have a dysfunctional body, you begin to kind of wish you weren't around some of the members. You know, when your leg is totally wrecked and everything else, it causes nothing but pain and difficulty. And you think, oh man, I'd just like to chop that thing off and get rid of it. You know, and when we are in an unhealthy body of Christ that's not growing and being equipped and serving one another in this way, and bitterness, division happen like in Corinth. But when people begin to understand what God has done in designing the body in this way and begin to exercise those gifts, it is the most wonderful thing. I so love the way that God has designed so many of you. And the benefit that I have received through you exercising your gifts, and I pray that you would do it more and more. And for others, you may be looking and saying, yeah, I really don't even know what in the world I'm good at, and I haven't really participated much in the life of the church. I show up every once in a while on Sunday. Maybe it's time, if you are a Christian, to say, oh God, I have squandered the gifts you have given me up to this point. Give me a heart that desires to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ, that the body may be built up, that you may be glorified in your church. Let's turn to him in prayer this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a great wonder it is that you have saved us at all. you have, O Lord, taken us out of the world and brought us together as a church in this way. And that you, in your sovereignty and grace, have gifted us, O Lord, when we deserve none of the gifts that you have given. And then, Lord, out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church who gave himself for us, you call us to serve and to love and give our lives for the good of others, for the building up of the body of Christ, that he may be glorified and that his body, O Lord, might grow and be strengthened and equipped to serve and to love and to glorify your name in this world until Christ comes again. O Lord, may you transform us by the renewing of our minds this morning. May we think rightly about the church, and in thinking rightly about her, may our lives be changed, conformed to your word, to the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.